Ba-dump.
Steely Dan here on KPTZ, and it is time once again for Bureaucracy Now. I'm Taylor Clark. I'm the co-host. I'm here with my esteemed co-host. I heard you called me esteemed. John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager.
Were you offended by that?
No. I was quite complimented to be esteemed.
I played around with a variety of adjectives.
Yeah, I actually had a friend text that to me.
Oh.
So,
well, that's nice to see you, esteemed co-host.
Yeah, okay.
Better than steamed.
That would be, yes, and that would be your esteemed constituent.
Uh-huh, right.
Speaking of steam constituents,
yes.
I saw that you are going to be at Velocity.
I am.
Is that tomorrow? Or
I
next
drink
week?
Coffee. I mean, I actually was at Velocity just an hour ago with a fire chief. Actually,
I've seen Chief Olsenet
or Chief Black. Actually, I take both chiefs.
Oh, the fire chief.
But yeah, okay. we do a lot of interagency collaboration with Chief Black and team. Going back to Velocity tomorrow.
Tomorrow from
9 till 10:30 ish.
So this is an invitation to...
It's an invitation for everybody to come and have a conversation.
And a cup of coffee.
A cup of coffee.
You could buy John a cup of coffee. That would be a...
I mean, no, you can, but I don't think that's frowned upon. I think I'm very happy to buy my own.
But this isn't a free coffee event that Velocity has to...
No, I think I'm going to guess when I clear it with them that they are delighted to have... some event like this to bring more people to such a lovely little spot along the water. But no, it's kind of pull up a chair, grab a coffee. Let's have a conversation.
You know, coffee shops were traditionally, when they first started up in 18th century England, were meeting places where the public would get together and have conversations.
Yeah.
So I'm glad Bureaucracy Now is going back. You're going to continue to be here, right?
We're going back to the 1800s, you know, I think. No, I'm going to continue to be here. I'm so grateful to have this time with you, Taylor, and anybody listening. But I think there's something just different about being in person. I mean, that's why I came in. Yeah. Like, I literally left from City Hall 5 minutes before arriving here and kind of boogied to get here. But part of me thinking, oh, I could just zoom in. Part of me is actually the human, physical, you know, I'm looking you in the eye.
Right.
And it means something. And I feel like the same thing in person with coffee, just a chance to get to know people and put a name to a face and have a real conversation.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a blast from the past for me because I did that when I first got here.
Right. And then we stopped doing that because of COVID.
Yeah. And so, started doing this on the radio because of COVID.
And you mentioned a couple weeks ago you would be starting up again. So
First Friday, I'll do it indefinitely now.
Is that it's a first Friday thing.
We'll switch up the venues on occasion. But for the first 3 or 4 months, let's just go at Velocity and then we can kind of shift around town as we wish. So please join me, everybody, and grab a cup of coffee and come with questions, come with ideas, come with constructive criticism. We could all be civil about it. I'd love to hear what you think.
Community interaction.
Exactly.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
You were mentioning just before we went on the air, you've been having some interaction with other members of government.
Yeah, that's part of what we do, not just locally, regionally. I'm always so grateful to see, you know, the county commissioners or port commissioners or PUD commissioners or, you know, fire commissioners. I mean, we have so many local elected officials that matter and that actually work really well together. I think that expands to the state and also to the federal government. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's nice to see Congressman Kilmer in town celebrating Seventh Haven. Really big heroic lift by OLECAP, really their leadership, but with support from the county and city and all sorts of partners. But also,
refresh my memory: is Seventh Haven what is Seventh Haven?
Seventh Haven is Cherish, if you're listening, I'm doing my darndest to get this right. It's a 43 unit affordable housing apartment complex built next to
by QFC.
The QFC.
Yeah.
On transit near grocery. It's just like, as Cherish said at the opening event or the celebration, it ticks all the boxes from, this needs to be well located as a facility. And it is our densest development in Port Townsend at 42 units. It's about half an acre.
It also, I have a friend who used to work, he's just retired, but worked for the state in energy, and he says that, he was...
It's net zero.
It's apparently has some advanced energy.
Yeah, it's a net zero building, which is incredible. And also, you know, what it does literally to take people who are currently unsheltered. There's a certain number of spots for veterans, for folks, you know, who have been chronically unhoused. You know, it's a really big lift for the community, and it's not easy. I mean, as they said, you know, as Cherish and her team said during the ribbon cutting, it was a real hard slog, but this community did it. So it was great to see the congressman coming and celebrating, because actually federal funding was a part of the picture. It was a part of the puzzle that made it work. And that's precisely what I was trying to tell Senator Patty Murray yesterday. I was really privileged to be in a small roundtable discussion with Senator Murray, talking about how she can continue to support Washington State in particular. Mm-hmm. You know, she stated, you know, my job, you know, I want to bring as much federal funding and support back to Washington State as possible. You know, that's something that Congressman Kilmer also says. So it's really great that we have representatives who are really thinking about how to use these new and old federal funding mechanisms to benefit our community. And the point that I was trying to make, because we didn't get there was only seven of us there, but we didn't get a lot of time with the senator because she's got a lot to do.
Right.
But, you know, one of the points I made was specifically about housing, and it comes from what we were just talking about with Seventh Haven. You know, we do rely on HUD funding, USDA rural development funding. There's a bunch of different funding sources to allow things like CBDG grants for zero or low interest mortgages, for rental assistance. Our community desperately needs that, and the pitch I was making is we need more of that. And so please, please, dear chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee, which she is.
Is she? Okay.
She's money bags, or at least she has a lot of authority as one of the highest ranking members.
This is sort of Shades of Magnuson. You know, I don't know if you remember Warren Magnuson.
Yeah, of course.
Was also a senior senator back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, I think literally she's like third or fourth in line for the presidency, because she's just an extraordinary woman who's done so much for Washington State. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, we were saying, look, our big critical issue here, from at least, you know, the one talking point I was allowed, is housing, is making sure the funding flows to make sure that we can get you know, housing for those who need it in our community and those who are working here. And so it's a pretty big pitch. And I was really grateful to, you know, there's some that weren't in the room, but I got to chat ahead of time with, who helped me make a more cogent argument. And one of those I'll just call out is Jamie from Habitat, you know, who's a tremendous leader in our community. I think maybe been on the show before, if not should be. And she reminded me that, you know, there's some technicalities around maps that she and her board have been really concerned about, which might put Port Townsend and sort of ineligible for some of that funding. And I also made the case, thanks to the Habitat board and to their leadership and their information, made the case that can't go away for Port Townsend. So I saw her staffer furiously writing notes. I took that as a good sign. I followed up this morning. So, you know, it was a really great opportunity to speak sort of shoulder to shoulder with Clallam County representatives and Jefferson County, and talking about what we need. And it was kind of fun at the end of the conversation, if I could say, that because there was so much mutual support for, we got to get childcare right, we got to get housing right, we got to get green infrastructure right, we got to get transportation right, it was kind of a, you know, a collective call to arms for what a livable region looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And that case was just kind of amplified by everybody in the room.
You know, it occurs to me, and I was thinking about this in terms of the upcoming, you know, walkability conference that's coming up in a couple of weeks. But in some ways, you know, if you look at where Port Townsend is, we've avoided some of the you know, awful Strode creation. You know, that instead of stoplights, we got traffic circles, and we still have a small downtown core. That really, Port Townsend is in if not unique, but at least an unusual position, or maybe I should just say an advantageous position
yeah. Yeah.
To build on what we have and yeah. and try and make it better.
Good
so
segue.
It's kind of exciting.
It's super exciting. I think there's so much to work with here and so much that makes this community astoundingly cool and so much at stake, you know, and I think that, mm-hmm. again, the point to Senator Murray was like, you know, we need to band together here in this region because we're so isolated and there's so many challenges we face as a region. And we are forced to work so well together. I think, you know, maybe better than ever as agencies, we have each other's backs. We're thinking about working through challenges that we disagree in and finding, you know, areas of common interest. And it's exciting to see that take shape now. So I'll take the bait on your Strodes and on the conference next week that I'm not going to be able to make, unfortunately.
I know. Yeah.
But I will say that I am delighted that there's a new staffer who is going to be, you know, sort of taking my place here.
Next week.
Yeah.
Not generally.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Jeff's kind of a clever guy, but so Jeff Kosteczka is our new assistant city engineer.
Ah.
And he's really very savvy with non-motorized transportation.
Oh, good. He be our, he'll be sitting in as co-host next week?
He will be sitting in. I think you're going to be the host with the most.
I'll be the host.
He'll be a guest. Okay. And also, I believe I don't know. Esteemed, is that the right adjective? You can help me, Dan Burden.
Dan Burden. Okay, so I'd had a request, and mm-hmm. so I wanted to sort of check into that. I think that would be we would have an interesting discussion.
Oh man,
and it'd be a good segue into the conference, which comes up on Friday.
Exactly, and they're both ferociously smart, and really they'll have a lot to say about the active mode space the day before TLED puts on their conference.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, good. So you can
miss me.
Listeners can look forward to that. I will miss you, but this is a reasonable. Listeners can look forward to that. Mm. Also, listeners should know if you have a question.
Yeah,
dj@kptz.org. We've got another 20 minutes, a little less.
Yay.
And we'd love to hear from you. You know, one thought I had, and I it might be worth just a couple minutes of discussion, is, you know, when you were talking about Patty Murray, she famously ran as, you know, the mom in tennis shoes as an mm-hmm. outsider. And I don't, it's been a few years, so I don't recall what her previous public experience was, but I think it was relatively limited.
I think school board to state senate to senator. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is a good time to mention May, the second week of May, is the month for signing up for running for public office.
That's correct.
And this is a good time for people to start to, you know, you got a few weeks, start to think mm-hmm. about it, have some conversations with electeds, ask them what's involved and how hard it is and consider if you're an impassioned, connected community member, if you might want to, you know, try it on the inside instead of trying it on the outside,
which is
an interesting transformation to make. Mm-hmm. But this is the time, and you know, I've heard from electeds, you know, that everyone should have an opponent, and because that way the conversation takes place, the forums take place, mm-hmm. that differences of opinion get discussed and
totally.
And clarified.
Yeah.
So this is a good time. So I guess consider this from me a suggestion.
There you go. Well, dust off those tennis shoes.
Well done.
Or pickleball shoes? I mean, come on.
Whatever your running shoes are. Because doorbelling will be required, probably.
That's right.
Yeah. So I thought it's worth mentioning. It's coming up, again, the second week of May.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good segue into just quick rundown, if you don't mind. There's just a lot of ways to get involved. And I mean,
there's other ways, too.
The ultimate way to get involved is to want to be sitting at the policymaking table. Mm-hmm. You know, in that capacity or an advisory board capacity, advising city council.
They're all valid ways to get involved. You know, they're all important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're serving on an advisory board, you're doing the work.
Yeah.
And that's your
It takes all. You know, and in some ways, I mean, I don't want to say this and get out of line with my seven bosses here, but mm-hmm. you know, it's. Every role is quite valuable. You know, there's not a hierarchy of roles. Like, I know I have a sense that city council couldn't do their job like they do without effective advisory bodies. You know, the city can't do our job without effective colleagues in municipal government or nonprofit partners.
Right.
Our business community couldn't do what they do without the chamber and without kind of, you know, connection amongst themselves. I mean, it really does take a village. So, but if you are interested in spending way too much time with me, especially on Monday nights, being recorded
for way too little money,
being recorded for everything you say, then yeah, maybe it's time to think about public office.
Yeah.
Mm. Other ways you can get involved, Taylor.
Yes.
You can attend a number of public engagement open houses and public meetings.
You have some coming up, I understand.
Holy cats, we do. So
for our listening audience, I want to point out that John has actually pulled out his phone and is looking at notes for this next
section. I probably could do 90% of this off memory just because I know they're coming up. One of them's in 15 minutes, actually. So in 15 minutes, we'll have another meeting of our Financial Sustainability Task Force.
Oh, good.
And that's going to be much more public when we go to City Council in May in a joint workshop format. So the task force members and council will work through some of what we've been doing.
Remind me of what the financials. Yeah. I haven't heard of them in a while. It got created and then I didn't hear about it.
They have been diligently working away. And it's actually been a lot of fun because they're not just really capable and have great broad perspective, but they're also really cool people with a, you know, just an ability to roll up their sleeves and dive in and agree to disagree and really get going. For financial sustainability, it's a little bit nebulous. I understand. It's like, you know, you start talking about budget and about two sentences in, people's eyes glaze over and you're like, yep, yeah, I've had enough. Possibly same here, but we're trying to make the case that this stuff really matters, that how we, the decisions we make about how we fund our city or don't fund it and the levels of service we provide on everything from parks to housing to streets to police to library, everything is a community decision. And if we don't proactively choose what we want or our limit for what we want, we'll just kind of cast ourselves into the future aimlessly without, you know, making decisions about what we want. And I think that that might be poor because for one thing, that might be how we got to where we are in some ways with some of the condition of, say, our streets. I don't think anybody would say that's an excellent quality of Port Townsend. We have fantastic streets. I mean, I'll admit we do not. but that is a decision we make as a community. Same thing with parks and open space. I'm looking at the lovely dog park behind you, Taylor. Mm-hmm. And you know, what is our investment, if any, in our local parks and open space and trails? And if it's zero, which it kind of is about right now, it's about zero capital dollars, we can keep doing zero. But let's decide as a community, you know.
So this is what this committee is trying to look into.
And to try to do it in a way that, you know, we continue at the level that community wants for everything, not as piecemeal, let's just make decisions about streets and then we'll bring housing next year and we'll throw something down on housing. Let's do it together. Let's think of a holistic approach, a strategic approach to, you know, what does this community value? What do we want to pay for? And how much is enough? We don't need gold-plated streets, that's for sure, but we might want to invest in our streets more is what I'm hearing from the community and from City Council. So that's where all that comes together. You'll see more of that in the coming months. And that's just in, well, now 12 minutes. We're having that next meeting. We also have a strategic retreat for the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee next week. There's a ribbon cutting for pickleball right behind you as well on the 12th. Come one, come all. The conference, the T-Lab conference that you mentioned is also next week.
Just got a shout out from a listener who asked that we for a little more information about that. It is a one-day transportation conference. It is Friday the 14th from 9 to 4 p.m. It's called Moving in the Right Direction. It will bring together decision makers, transportation planners, and advocates. So safe streets and a decarbonized transportation future, organized by the Transportation Lab of Local 2020 in partnership with the City of Port Townsend, Jefferson Transit, Port of Port Townsend, Jefferson County, Jefferson Healthcare, The Broken Spoke, and the Food Co-op.
Yeah.
And I think it's, I believe you can go to the Local 2020 website and find a link to register
And it's
to attend.
Funny to be out of town on the East Coast running that silly marathon when my old buddy Mike McGinn, I think, is the speaker.
Right.
last time I saw him, I think he might have been mayor of Seattle. So, you know, he's now America Walks executive director. So Mike will have a lot to say. So it'll be worth going to.
There is also at the bottom of this email, John, a comment about Real Coffee coming back and thanking you for doing this and suggesting that the folks at the Marina Cafe, where 20% gather at Boat Haven, have been waiting for you for over 3 years. So if you could please, could you please put that on your list?
I love it. Well, thank you.
I think that's an invitation.
You know, I went by the other day and I thought, why have I not? So I think I did it every month in a different spot. So I think I got to Velocity. Yeah. I got to the Roadhouse, I think I did for a month. I think I did Sunrise. Mm-hmm. I'm forgetting where else actually, but we do coffee in Port Townsend.
There's a lot.
There's a lot. So, you know, I will happily take that invitation and pivot over there in like, you know, 3 or 4 months. Just give me a chance to get into a groove. That's a great comment.
Good.
So, sorry, there's a long list.
I interrupted your
list. No, it's okay. I'll just I'll cut it short here. We're still planning with the Chimicum School District an open house in Chimicum on the pool because it's a regional issue. So healthier together. You know, the kind of full county approach, we'll have an open house in Chimicum probably late April. I'm going to guess maybe around the 27, 28. Golf course open house. The next one is on the 26th of April. It's the second in the series. There'll be a virtual one that next week on the 1st of May, if you can't be there in person. There's also a pool open house, the 3rd and the 4th of May. There's a 3rd, which is virtual, the 4th, which is open house in person. There's just a ton happening.
A pool open house at the pool or about the pool?
About the pool.
About
I'm sorry.
The pool.
I'm sorry,
okay.
Yes. So all this stuff, if you need to find the details, including if childcare is available, which it now usually is, the venue is often the Fort Worden Commons because it's big.
Yes.
And we anticipate big crowds.
Yes. Which is good.
Which is good. Mm-hmm. And we try to change up the timing a little bit, but I think this next series is more like 5 o'clock-ish. But you can check our website. It's cityofpt.us/engage. And those initiatives are right there on that page. So check it out. Come join us. I think Carrie told me it was 1,100 survey responses from the pool survey. It was 2 weeks.
Zowie.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I love it. It's great. I don't know what they say, but does it matter? We had 1,100 of them. I love it.
That's
good engagement.
That's an engaged community.
That's right. That's 11% of our population by population.
Now I read that that there are actual sites being considered. Four sites being considered. Was that an accurate?
Totally accurate. That's right. Yeah, there are four. They were rolled out at the open house. I think you'll see more detail at the next one. But yeah, there are four sites that were considered and kind of. You know, there's no optimal place, you know.
Yeah. It's hard to make everybody happy.
I don't know if that's possible, but I think, you know, there's pros and cons to each. One of them I'm looking at right now, which is right here at the Mountain View campus. And I'll do this unobjectively because I just remember the sticky notes and the dots.
But and the from dots.
From the open house that we did in person, I saw quite a few dots here at this site on the Mountain View campus for a new pool. Fewer dots elsewhere, including Evans Vista, including a site that Jefferson Healthcare owns.
Right, including
the golf course.
A spot on somewhere in on the golf.
That'd be a
we're
big
not
pool.
Dumping it down in the middle of the golf course.
No,
okay.
No, but I think that still more work needs to be done. It was great to take the temperature of people's just general reflections on where's a good site and kind of what to balance. You know, like we want to balance a number of things. For instance, is there enough space is kind of an important thing. And we kind of found out with the Jefferson Healthcare site to really do something is probably impossible to do on an acre without like, you know, major impacts to the surrounding buildings. So, so there's lots of,
concern. What about here at Mountain View? Is there enough room to do it
it'll be
build
tight.
Something new without taking down the old one first?
I think it'll be tight, but it can be done. And I think we there's some puzzle pieces for us to figure out, but I think, it is likely feasible. You know, the question of what does Mountain View campus become as part of that or afterward is really a good question because, you know, I have this kind of rosy vision of having it be a central hub for community involvement, engagement, and any new facility really amplifying the effectiveness and the draw to the current facility. So if it did land here, and there's lots to go from here to there because it's not even decided we're going to do it, we're just exploring the concept, then we'd want to maximize what is Mountain View for, you know, the community we serve.
Right, building a new pool would be an opportunity to look at what else takes place here, what other facilities, and really plan it out.
Yeah, but we don't have we don't have a ton of time because, you know, on Monday at City Council, we had to go hat in hand to City Council saying, look, if we want to keep it safe, we need another coat of latex material on the roof of the pool because it's way past its useful life.
It's just much like the streets.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And unfortunately, like, you know, patching things up takes a toll. I mean, it's like, you know, $76,000 is what just getting a layer of latex on the roof is likely to cost. I mean, it's not a sustainable strategy forever. Yeah. The building will fall apart and we need another plan.
I just as we are about to finish up here, I want to note that I was excited to see the streets crew out doing potholes on Lawrence Street. And I know Lawrence Street needs more than just pothole filling, but they were out there. They were out there this morning.
That's right.
And I know, you know, you drive around and you think, well, nobody's doing anything. And I was like, that looks like a city truck.
Yeah. Oh, and we got some new kit now. I mean, with a hot patch instead of cold patch, some of those will last longer. But I mean, the big question is, you know, look, you can't just keep patching roofs and streets. If we really want better quality infrastructure, we have to pay for it and figure out how. Mm-hmm. And that's right back to financial sustainability.
Which actually brings me to my closing song.
Look at that. It's like we planned this, but clearly we didn't.
The name of this song is Bad Habit.
Mm.
But the subtext is spending money like a bad habit.
I love it.
So I want to say thank you, John, once again for joining us on Bureaucracy Now. And is it next week that you're gone?
I'm gone next week. Jeff and Dan will be here.
And I want to wish you good luck in the Boston Marathon.
Thank you, sir.
You probably don't need it, but
it'll be an experience.
I will check out the results and see how you do.
Thanks, Taylor. Good to see you.
Okay, and good to see you. Until next time.